could show the world how to smile. I could be glad all of the while. I could turn the gray skies to blue if I had you. I could leave my old days behind, leave all my pals, I'd never mind. There is nothing I couldn't do if I had you. I could climb a snow-capped mountain, sail the mighty ocean wide. I could cross a burning desert if I had you by my side. I could be a king deer uncrowned, humble or poor, rich or renowned. There is nothing I couldn't do if I had you.
Wonderful opportunity to revisit with Hillary Cole, who has a brand new CD out. You are there, and you will want to be there to listen to this beautiful CD just as much as we liked her debut recording, Haunted Heart. We are happy to welcome back to I Love Jazz, Hillary Cole. Hillary, welcome back.
Thank you so much. So good to be here, back here.
Well, you know, I was looking at our prior interview, and it was just 1 year ago that you and I talked and visited about your first CD, Haunted Heart, and now you've come out with another winner.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, it's funny, actually, Haunted Heart, I can't believe it's been a year. You know, Haunted Heart, I actually recorded during the process of recording this record. We actually started on You Are There about 4 years ago, so it's been a long process, and I'm so thrilled that it's finally out.
Well, you have some wonderful artists with you again. You had John Pizzarelli with you on Haunted Heart, and now you have a number of wonderful musicians. I was wondering how you got them all together.
Oh boy, well, that's what took 4 years. I was, you know, really, really lucky to work with, I mean, who I consider 11 of the greatest pianists, you know, who have ever lived, really. You know, it started with a wonderful friendship that I had with the late, great Oscar Peterson. I was lucky enough to get to know him and work with him a little before he passed. And I recorded a few tracks with him, and that's really the genesis of this whole record. I was so inspired by just singing with the piano that I really thought that this would be a really great project, a really challenging project for me. And Johnny Valenti, the producer of this record, who he owns Birdland in New York, you know, thought that this would be a really fun, unique project. So after we recorded with Oscar, we went to Hank Jones, and we ended up recording tracks with Hank Jones and Michel Legrand and Kenny Barron, and the list goes on and on. It's been really a life-changing project for me. It's been so wonderful.
Well, the wonderful thing about this is that you are a pianist yourself and oftentimes accompany yourself, and here you are with some of the greats.
Yes, and I didn't dare put my piano tracks on with these guys. The next one I will, and Unhaunted Heart I did. But yeah, as a pianist, and anyone really who likes listening to jazz players, this is such an interesting project because you really, it's like a master class on how to accompany a singer. I actually have a piano teacher who teaches in New York City who uses the CD in his classroom now because he's showing all these young students how, you know, how the greatest of the greats do it, you know, how to do an intro for a singer. So it was really an amazing experience because you can hear all of their own personalities, you know, through the music. You can hear how Michel Legrand plays for a singer and Cedar Walton and Dave Brubeck and all on one CD. So I think it's a really interesting thing for people who not just love the songs and not just love vocals, but for piano lovers as well.
Well, you know, I, as a collector for many, many years, I have a number of CDs of various great pianists performing and getting an opportunity to hear their various styles. But I think this may be one of the first, if not the only time, that I've ever had a CD with a vocalist doing her thing with all the different pianists. Are you aware of this ever having been done before?
I think this is the first. As far as we know, this is the first. I mean, obviously there are iconic records, you know, the Bill Evans, Tony Bennett record, and Ella had done a duo with just Oscar. But as far as one singer and 11 or 12 different artists, I think this is the first one. And I was, you know, for me, it was just, as you could imagine, the experience of a lifetime. I mean, it's every singer's dream to work with one of these guys and then to, you know, to have them all together. I was really thrilled. A few months ago, I saw Alan Broadbent, who actually did the title track, You Are There With Me. And he looked at me, and I had given him the CD, and he looked at the back cover, and he said, Hillary, of all the CDs I've ever been on, this is my favorite, because there my name is right next to Dave Brubeck. So, I mean, you know, it was something that I think once the ball got rolling, these pianists really kind of dug being on the record with each other. So it became kind of this, like, self-fulfilling prophecy that everyone wanted to be on it. So it was really fun for me because the musicians, the pianists all kind of wanted to hear each other's tracks and they were very interested in not only their own track, but each other's music.
Well, you know, you and I talked when we talked about your first CD, Haunted Heart, about your wonderful selection of songs. I know you are a composer in your own right, and I don't want to take anything away from that, but I do want to commend you for sticking to the Great American Songbook once again, as we talked about before.
Yes, you know, as you know, I feel very passionate about this music, and you know, if I ever put an original on, it will have to go through my. I have pretty high standards when it comes to good songs, and you know, that's a different kind of music altogether. But and there are certainly good songs that are not standards. I don't want to say that it's just standards that are great music, but you know, I feel very comfortable singing these songs. I think they're some of the greatest songs ever written. And the other part of this record, this project for me, was because we were talking about legends here on this record, I didn't want to exactly give them my chart. So we chose on almost every occasion songs that were standards because they would know them. I didn't want to put music in front of them and have them sight reading and have that encumber them in any way. So you know, we chose songs that without really any rehearsal, we kind of went in and did it the old school way where you go in, you choose a song, and you take a couple tracks and, you know, a couple takes of the same song, and there you go. And I think that there's a freshness to that approach when things are not over rehearsed, that with this music, with these standards, really comes across in the old records, and I wanted to kind of keep that approach for this record.
Now tell me, how did you get all these wonderful and great pianists together? Did they come to you to Birdland, or did you have to go
actually
to various places to get them?
That's a good question. We did, all but the Dave Brubeck was the only one that we had to go to him because he was holidaying in Sanibel Island in Florida. So we actually flew down, and we had a deadline with how we had to get the master in for the record release. So we flew down to Sanibel Island. I got to meet Dave and his family. It was the most wonderful experience, I can't tell you. We spent two great days together, and we went into a studio down there. But in every other instance, everybody went to the wonderful NOLA Studios, the very, very famous NOLA recording studios up in Steinway Hall on 57th Street in Manhattan. So the piano is the same piano except for the Dave Brubeck tracks. So it was recorded in the same space at NOLA's. And I have to say, it was always very last minute. You know, Freddie Cole was doing a week at Birdland, and we, you know, would get him in, you know, one day, and we would call the studio, and I would beg the studio guys to let me in for 1 hour, and they always did, of course. And another great example is Alex Broadbent lives in California, so he was coming into town for the Diana Krall Radio City Music Hall concert, and so I got him that morning, and we did an hour. So it was always, you know, when these guys had a minute to spare, and, you know, they're so busy, that's really what took so long. Michelle Legrand lives in Paris. So a lot of these guys were out of town so much, we had to kind of do it when it was convenient for them. But we all got together at NOLA Studios, we had a sandwich, we had a little talk about what songs we wanted to do, and the next thing you know, it happened.
So my good friend Jimmy Zak had a lot to do with this recording.
Oh, he did. You know, I always say it's a duo record, but it was really a trio because you know Jim, and with one look, he just, you know, he could, with one look, he put me right back into the space of the song. You know, he would tell me with his looks if it was a good take or not, and I knew immediately. And like I said on the record, I mean, we ended up being, I mean, he's like my family now. You know, it's an incredibly intimate record, and that's why I chose the title track, You Are There, because I think it's a very, very intimate statement, and that's really what it is. When you sing as a singer, when you're just singing with a piano, it's everything is stripped away. You know, you don't have Don Tobesky charts to hide in front of, and you don't have big horns blowing. It's just you and the music. And it's just about breathing and about lyric and about the integrity of the song. And, you know, it was just me, the piano player, and Jim Zak recording it. And that's really what I wanted to have come across. So he was wonderful to me.
Well, you know, I used that word in our first interview about your first recording, intimate. And that's the ability that you have as a vocalist, that it makes one feel like you are singing just to them. There's that intimate quality that you produce when you sing, and it makes one feel like you're right there in the room singing to you and you alone.
Oh, thank you so much. I think that's so important. And I really, when I'm in the recording studio, even more sometimes than in a live record, a live performance space, when you have so many people there, it's really not as intimate as when you're in that little booth and you're kind of, you know, it you can hear every breath. And I think it's the wonderful thing about the recording process, that it really does make the listener feel like you're right there, because you're right there. And it would be as if I was singing right in the room to just you. So I love that, you know, that warmth that you can get in a really good studio. And of course, I was really so inspired. It's a very emotional record for me to listen to. It's kind of almost hard for me to get through it, because when I listen to these tracks, I immediately remember these wonderful pianists and what they gave to me and the inspiration while I was singing that I was getting from them. You know, some of them are, you know, Every Time I Say Goodbye by Cedar Walton is so amazing. Lush Life with Kenny Barron. I mean, these are moments in my life that I will never forget. So it's really it's really a special record for me. I'm really proud of it, and I think it'll change the way I kind of go about singing for the rest of my life too.
Well, you know, I said to you a year ago that I didn't know where you had been, but that we were very appreciative that you have finally come out. And now I have that same feeling about your second CD. It's hard to imagine that one in her first and even second CD could achieve what you have achieved in both of your recordings. You have to feel very good about that.
I do. I mean, you know, I'm a perfectionist, which is great for a performer and not so good for a recording artist, because you always think you can do better. But I've learned that it's not about the perfection, and it's about the emotional integrity that you have. And I think the older I get, the more attached I am to that and the more I understand that. And it's something, it's funny, I'm actually doing a show in New York right now called Our Sinatra that I co-wrote. And we started the show almost 11 years ago, and we're doing, and we hadn't done it since. And I'm doing it now at the Algonquin in New York City, and it's been 10 years since we've done it, and it's a completely different show for me, because in 10 years, I've learned and grown and lived so much. And I, you know, especially with this music, I think it's timeless, because you can look at it from every aspect angle of your life, and you're always going to bring something new to these songs. So, you know, this to me is my lifelong passion, and I think you can only get better. I think we have to get better, because if we just stop, then the music stops.
You know, I have the thought that you need to put out a companion DVD, and how great it would have been had there been a DVD of this as well as a CD, to not only to see you sing, but to see you with these giants of jazz. Have you thought about that for a future project?
You know, I think, yes. And, you know, while you're doing it, sometimes you don't really realize that you have those moments until afterwards. But I was lucky enough, we did a DVD with Dave Brubeck and Cedar Walton and Monty Alexander. And I think that's going to eventually be released, and as part of this record. And so people can kind of hear in their words what it was like to accompany singers and you know, their point of view on this record and just, you know, accompanying and these songs in general. So, you know, each one of these gentlemen was so kind and giving, and, you know, nobody needed to do this. I mean, you know, they're certainly in points of their career that they didn't need to do another record or to be on as a guest with anybody. And the fact that they kind of believed in me and believed in the project enough has been a huge confidence builder for me, and really, you know, it's incredibly special.
Well, it's a compliment to you from them, I assure you, because some of these guys don't like to play for vocalists, and they have made that known before. Of course, Freddie Cole is his own vocalist and prefers to play for himself, but using him as just one example, some of these other giants really don't, they would rather not play for vocalists, so that they have done this with you is in and of itself a compliment.
Yes, no, I get that, and I just try to honor that every time I get up on stage. You know, we had the CD release at Birdland in New York a few weeks ago, and Cedar came in, and Steve Kuhn and Monty Alexander and Freddie, and Mike Renzi played, and, you know, to have everybody in the same room at one time was incredible, and the love that they all had for each other and for me and for the project and the music was, you know, the truth is, they all are in this business for one reason. It's the love of the music. And so, as you know, I think they found that I was genuine, and I think they found that I was, you know, truly all about that, and that's what made it okay for them to want to, you know, be a part of it. I think that's what they felt with me. And, you know, again, it's I can't stress how life-changing it was, because, you know, once you play with these guys, that you really understand the history that they have. I mean, you know, you think about who they played with. You think about who Hank Jones played with, and you know, all of these gentlemen, and to be able to share that moment in time with them has been just a thrill.
I know that you have been performing on somewhat of a regular basis at Birdland, in addition to your Sinatra show, and Birdland celebrating a very special anniversary. Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, it's been an amazing year, 60 years. It's incredible. what Johnny's done with the club. I mean, he's owned the club. I think he's going on his 25th year owning the club, and really resurrected it from, you know, obscurity. Kind of, I think in 65, it went under, you know, as the music was changing and jazz was not, unfortunately, had hit a rough spot in our history. And then thankfully he actually met Doris Parker, and through her and through his very hard work, you know, reopened the club in 85, and now, you know, it's been all these years, and you know, I always say to him, it's like a master class every night for me. I mean, not that I go every night, but every time I go, it's an amazing thing. Freddie's going to be there. Freddie Cole is going to do his Christmas show there this year. We have, I mean, you know, every major jazz star is there, and it's an incredible opportunity for everybody to see this music in an intimate setting, and to see, you know, he really works incredibly hard to make it a destination place, not just for the music, but for the whole experience of that old-time feeling of going to a supper club and having a wonderful dinner and a romantic dinner and seeing the best musicians in the world.
One of the premier jazz clubs in the world, and now operating at 315 West 44th Street. That's a move from one of the earlier locations, but I remember as a youngster when first
Yep.
I had the opportunity to be in the Village area, to go to Birdland and to see people like Chris Connor, knowing that Sarah Vaughan had sang there and Basie had played.
Oh, wow.
It always gave me goosebumps, and I assume it does the same for you.
Oh, it's, you know, I say it every week. It's such an honor to be on that stage. You can just, you know, you feel the ghosts of that of this music kind of there. And, yeah, it's incredible. And, you know, to have worked with Hank Jones on that stage and to have worked with Oscar Peterson on that stage and think that, you know, who they were friends with. You know, they were friends with Nat Cole, and they were friends with Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong and Coleman Hawkins and the innovators of this music. And we would be nowhere without this history. And it's an incredible thing. And that's why I love this music so much. It's living history, and yet it changes with every artist that comes along. We all kind of add a little piece to it. So, you know, for me to be a little small, tiny part of that has been just an incredible dream.
I want to tell our listeners, now that you have mentioned Freddie Cole several times, that our I Love Jazz television show will feature Freddie Cole in the next edition, which will be coming up in October. Freddie was in our town, Hillary, not too long ago, and while he was here, he honored me with his appearance on my television show on a higher education channel here, and we got a chance to visit and talk while he also played, and what a thrill that was for us.
I have to tell you, in my humble opinion, I think Freddie Cole is the greatest jazz singer alive today. I mean, he's a singer's singer, you know, and whenever he comes to New York, I know, I'm sure where you are too, every singer who's worth their salt is in that audience listening to him. And I don't miss a show when Freddie's in New York, because he says the words better than anyone I know. And for him to have done this with me, it was just so wonderful. I cannot tell you, to be able to sing with a master like that.
You know, I wouldn't put you on the spot by asking you which was your favorite of all these piano players, but I would put you on the spot and ask you to tell us just maybe one or two of your favorite stories being with any of them.
I have to tell you, working with Dave Brubeck was just such a thrill for me. He was one of the few pianists on the record that I did not know, that I literally sent a copy of the CD with a couple tracks, and wrote him a letter and said, you know, I would be honored beyond, you know, beyond anything if you would consider being on this record. And I had no thought that he would ever even respond. And it took him quite a while, but he did listen to the CD and he did respond. And I was so thrilled. And I had requested that I sing his composition, Strange Metal Lark. And so we went down to Florida. By the time he said yes, he was in Florida for 4 months, and he said, I'd love to do it, but I'm not going to be in New York. And I said, we will come to you. So we flew down to Naples, Florida. We met, I told you, we had wonderful dinners with them and got to meet his wonderful wife, Iola. And we were in the studio, and we were getting ready to record Strange Metal Lark, and I think we were on break. And he started playing These Foolish Things. And Johnny immediately looked at me and said, "You've got to do this song with him. I would love you. I would love it. It's one of my favorite songs. Do you know it?" And I said, "Of course I know it. It was one of my favorite songs that I had sung on my very first gig in New York City at the Rainbow Room. I would sing it almost every single night." But I said, "You can't ask him." We asked him specifically if we could do one song with him, and I don't want to put him on the spot. But of course, Johnny knew a good thing when he heard one, and went right to Dave, and asked him if it was okay. And of course, Dave, without hesitating, said, "Of course, run it." So we took two tracks of These Foolish Things, I love that track so much because we really had no rehearsal with it, and I had no idea going into the studio that day that I would end up with two tracks with Dave. So that was an incredible gift that he gave to me. He was just so generous in every way. And also, on Strange Metal Lark, he wanted to do it in a very specific key because it was written out almost as a classical piece. And so I had to do it in the original key of E-flat. And the verse of it was very low for me in my register. And he knew that. And the day of the recording session, he surprised me by rewriting some of the notes, which would make it sound much, much better in my register. So he actually changed his composition to accommodate me, which was just the most gracious, wonderful thing that anyone, any composer could ever do for anyone. So when I hear Strange Metal Lark, it's incredibly special for me. Another great story is that usually we would do one artist at a time because it was always on their schedule, but it happened to be that Michel Legrand was playing Birdland, and so we picked him up, but of course he's very French and he's always running late. So we got to the studio late, and Hank Jones got there early. So we had Hank Jones and Michel Legrand run into each other. And the next thing I know, they're both on the piano playing four-hands piano, and one is telling the other what exercises they do to stay, you know, for their piano skills. And we're just looking at the control booth going, "Look at this, it's Hank Jones and Michel Legrand playing four-hands." And they were like two 10-year-olds laughing and joking and having a wonderful time. So the whole CD had just been amazing because there was no pressure. There was never, you know, we didn't even really have a date where we were going to do this. I have to tell you, to be honest, we were doing this for the love of it. We weren't even sure it was ever going to be put out. There was really no plan other than me singing with great, great pianists. So I think because of that, there's this really organic feeling about this record because it really just came out of love. So that's, you know, that's the whole record for me.
I'm going to go back to your word. It's intimate, and it really is. We're visiting with Hilary Cole, her brand new CD, You Are There. Hilary is a beautiful, I want to say, new singer on the scene for many of us, because those of us who don't live in the New York area only got introduced to her by her first CD, Haunted Heart, with John Pizzarelli. And by the way, you can still see and hear our interview with Hilary Cole on donwolf.com by going into the archives. Hilary, before I let you go, I want to tell you that there's not a song I can pick out of here and tell you was my favorite. But the song I want to ask you about is the one that Frank Sinatra said was his hardest song to sing. And Johnny Hartman did the premier version of Lush Life.
Oh, I know.
How did you feel about singing that song?
You know, it's funny. I'm so glad you chose that one to talk about. I mean, they're all wonderful, but that was one of the only songs that I knew I wanted to do on this record, because as soon as we realized, okay, we're going to do a duo record with just piano, for me, that is the quintessential duet song between a vocalist and just piano, is Lush Life. And it's also, for me, the mark of a really true jazz singer. You know, that's like the bread and butter. Yes, I know, Frank Sinatra tried recording that, I think, twice and didn't ever put it out. So it's a very tough song to sing. And, of course, I love, you know, there are some definitive versions out there, but I really thought that Kenny would be the perfect player for this song. You know, just he is a quintessential jazz musician, and he was just so hip, and yet let the music breathe. I mean, I think his solo was just outstanding. And the other thing that's so interesting about when we recorded this was we were in separate rooms, so we couldn't see each other. We could only hear each other. And so when you have a song like that, you really have to be so in sync with each other's thoughts and the phrasing and really listen to each other's breathing. So for me, that is one of my very favorite tracks because, A, it's really difficult and challenging, but I think it, I just think it's a masterpiece of a composition, and I was just thrilled to record it with Kenny.
Hillary, before I let you go, I know this is somewhat of a new project in and of itself, and hopefully there will be a DVD that will accompany it in the not-too-distant future, but what else might you have on the drawing board for the future?
I'm very excited. I'm going to be touring Europe and Japan again this coming fall. And, of course, I'm meeting John Pizzarelli. He's going to be he's going to make a repeat performance, and he's going to be producing my next record. So we're actually in talks about that and already picking material out for that, which is really exciting. And I'm not sure exactly what the configurations are going to be, but it's definitely going to be bigger than just piano. I'll say that.
Well, congratulations on another wonderful CD, and we want to wish you the best of luck in the future. And I promise you, when I come up there, whenever I come to New York, I visit with Jimmy Zak, and the next time I come up there, I'm going to break his arm if he doesn't take me to see you. And I hope
I will too. Tell him I will too. I'm dying to see you, Don. Thank you so much.
Best of luck with your new CD. You Are There. It's available everywhere. And if nowhere else, you can go to Hillary Cole. That's K-O-L-E, by the way, if you're not familiar, .com. And you can find a place there where you can purchase the CD. Hillary, it's been a thrill once again. I look forward to next year doing this all over again if we don't get the opportunity to meet in the meantime. And I do hope we do. But
I hope so. Don, thank you so much for continuing to keep this music going. It's so important. It really is. It's our greatest art form. So thank you, thank you.
That's Hillary Cole. You Are There. I'm Don Wolf, and I love jazz.
Whenever it's early twilight, I watch till a star breaks through. Funny, it's not a star I see, it's always you.
Whenever I roam through roses, and lately I often do. Funny, it's not a rose I touch, is always.
A breeze caresses me, it's merely you strolling by.
And if I hear a melody, it's merely the way that you sigh.
Wherever you are, you're near me.
You dare me to be untrue.
Every time I fall in love, it's always you. Thank you. is me. It's merely you strolling by.
And if I hear a melody, it's merely the way that you sigh.
Wherever you are, you're near me.
You dare me to be untrue.
Every time I fall in love, it's all